Well, greetings to each one this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. It's good to be here. It's good to be here again. We know most of you, and some of you we don't, but it's a great privilege to gather with God's people. This morning I want to also extend Christian greetings from the church at home, and praying for you all in the continuation of the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of thoughts go through my mind. Maybe before we continue, I'd like to maybe rise together for a word of prayer. Let's go and rise together. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this forenoon hour, we thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for the word that was shared with us this morning, Lord. Your truths, your principles that are timeless and are established in eternity. And our best, you have our best in mind as we submit to you and we walk in your will under your authority. We thank you for that. Thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you would take the continued thoughts here, and you would break the bread of life into all of our lives, that we would learn what your will is, Lord, that we would learn what your will is for this congregation, Lord, that your name would be glorified and souls would be drawn to you and the church would be furthered, Lord, and not hindered. We sense our need of you this morning. We ask for your presence. I ask that you would hover over us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would say the things that you want us to say and not say those things that you don't want said. We love you this morning. We commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The goal rings into my mind as well. The goal is the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ. This is a beautiful thing. The thought of the many thoughts that our brother John shared, the call he shared on the call of a deacon. And in my mind yesterday, I was thinking of a title, and I thought of the call of an elder. So I thought it'd be same title if you want to give it that, but the call of an elder. Before we do that, I was sitting there thinking some of the same principles. There's a lot of experiences that we all have in life from some of these topics and some of these outworkings of the beautiful Church of Jesus. But Jesus has never taught wrong on it. The Word of God has always been sound. And I thought in my life, I said, Lord, if I continue to race to be a servant, I'll have no problem. And so whatever we are, as brother was sharing, if we have some kind of occasion in mind or some kind of preconceived idea that maybe if I become something, I'll be better at something, it's not going to work that way. It's preconceived and it's an occasion. The Bible teaches us that he that light wants to be the greatest, let him become the servant of all. And that's a journey, but it's a blessed journey. Whether you are a deacon or an elder or anyone, if you love to serve, it's fulfilling. And so may God bless each of you. Saying that to be said, I would say that it was a bit of a time of just reflection in our lives this weekend. My wife brought it to my memory. I wasn't really thinking about it, but 4 years ago this weekend was when I was ordained as an elder. And I didn't think about that until I was driving down here. But nevertheless, I was musing and driving down here and thinking. And I have a lot of beautiful thoughts, beautiful memories, but also have some things that I'd like to expect for the Lord to do a deeper work in my heart. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? So the title this morning is The Call of an Elder. I was thinking, there's a call this morning. God calls. First, always there's always a continued call for salvation. That call remains continually every day. There's a call for salvation. You know, my wife and I answered that call. Many of you answered. We've answered that call a number of years ago. But there's always a call daily. There's a call. As our younger brother shared this morning, our life is built on decisions. Our call for salvation. There's a call for being restored, continually restored, back into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Restored. Bringing life back. One other meaning for call is to call forth or bring a summon to, summon into action. You know, the summons into action, a call of a workman. A call of a workman. Not a call to have someone work, a workman, someone that works already. You know, a workman. The most important, this call is not a job that you have a paycheck, but it's a summons from heaven. It's a call from heaven. And isn't that a blessing this morning that every one of us have a call from heaven? It's an appointment from heaven, from the very God of the universe, from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And in 2 Peter it says to give all diligence to make this calling, make your calling and election sure. Therefore, it's not just an ordinary call, it's a divine call. It's divinity. Divine is we don't have authority to do whatever we want anymore. Not because we're an elder, but because we're Christ. We only have one authority that we're under. So I would like to also look at that call. Look at that. So I titled the call of an elder. I look at some qualifications. I won't overlap. Some of them do some, but I won't overlap. Try to overlap the ones that John talked about because they do interchange. I'll look at some qualifications. And then lastly, I'd like to look at some of the role, some of the practical role of an elder and endeavoring to stay biblical. And again, as Brother John shared at the end, if you have thoughts, we'd be happy to talk about them and communicate around them around the lunch table. Look at the qualifications. So if you turn over there to them in Timothy, 1 Timothy. The first qualification there we want to look in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, would the word vigilant. I'd like to look at that qualification just a little bit. So if you remember again these things, I was blessed, Brother John took it from us there. There is a character. The character of God in man is beautiful. It's not a perfection, so to speak, but we know when we are pressing toward God or when we're content just with lesser than the right. So a lot of these qualifications are what we're all pressing for. And as I think of these qualifications, I continue to press toward them with everything we have. So vigilant, it means to be guard, to be on guard and to be watchful, to be attentive. Now again, these are characters that the Scripture does command us to watch for. So, attentive, to discover and avoid danger, or provide for danger a safe way forward, as a vigilant man. So, in life, family, church, community, there is dangers, there's storms, but not just to sound danger, but make a safe way forward. A vigilant man will do that. This is the safest way forward, family, brothers. That's encouraging, but it takes vigilance. And many times, if we're an hour late, there can be catastrophes. Or if we're a day late or a month late, being vigilant. Let's do this. The second one is sober there. We'll go through them. I'll try to keep them a little bit in order. We'll go through them in a timely manner. Sober simply means not foolish, and we heard that. You know, not everything in life is funny. We all laugh, but not everything in life is funny. So a sober man is not a foolish man. I think that's pretty easy to understand. The scripture teaches us that we're to be sober-minded. To be sober-minded. The third one has a good behavior. A good behavior, again, comes out of our conduct and manners. And some of the thoughts that I looked up or read a few articles, our future, the future destiny of a family or a church heavily depends on the behavior of men's lives. Just a simple behavior. How do we have a good behavior? It comes when we are able by the power of God to govern the natural instincts that come into our life. We all have those. Before we're converted, they're the driver's seat of our life. That's just what we do. When you step on a dog's paw, he just bites you. No, he'll bite you. But now, since we are converted and we have a new nature, the external temptation comes to us. We have the power to govern that. Isn't that a blessing? It's good. It's just good behavior. We have that. None of us have an excuse to say that's just who I am. He stepped on my paw. That's not God's design for us. We need to go further. It's very devastating to not have good behavior. When we respond on our natural instincts, it becomes very damaging to our lives, our personal lives, and those around us. Fourth one is given to hospitality, and we experience that. Many of us experience that all the time. Just being hospitable, receiving people with no reward expected. You know, we don't invite people expecting to get invited back. We do that naturally sometimes, you know, if we think through it. But to there's no reward expected. We do this with kindness, manifest in generosity. Always giving what we have for others. Strangers and guests, they can come on over anytime. Now this is against the natural tendency of the human being. But again, this is the gift. This is the gift of an elder that is taught in the Word of God. Some of them, the first four. The next one is he's supposed to be apt to teach. Some of the meanings, I'm just going to go through these. For the sake of time, they'll sound a little mechanical, but we'll just go through them. They're just very practical. Apt to teach means he's apt to instruct or inform. He's a minister of the gospel. Brings others to a decision. Brings others to a crossroad. Makes truths familiar. Brings familiar truths back to life. We don't come up with new teachers don't come up with new things. We just teach and apply and try to bring them up again, to try to bring a decision. How many times have I done that in my life? How many times have brothers done that in my life? And I was sitting there of what if we would share a little testimony of our lives. The dual work of the church. We heard a lot this morning of a deacon. But a teacher, a preacher, apt to teach. I remember a time in our life when we were, as Brother John shared, we had the experiences of our church life. We've been blessed in many ways. But I remember a time where we were in need. My wife and I were in a pretty tremendous need. And there were men that knew that. There were men that knew that. And it didn't take long for that need to be covered. You know, one day we had two men knock on our door and come over, and it blessed us tremendously. It helped us financially, and I never forget it. We just sat down and said, Lord, thank you. But we also had a greater need. I would say not greater. We had an equal need, that there were other men that God used to help. A couple of men brought us a check, two checks over that week. And other men would come and talk to us about our marriage, about becoming one with Christ, becoming one with one another. They didn't bring us a check. We should, we, there was a church. It was working. And I never forget that. I don't want to forget that. Many other times, that's how the church works. It's a blessing. But when we don't receive it, we fight against it, kick. You know, I to receive help is a blessing. I need help. I need help today. The church helps us. It's not a position. A good teacher is also very teachable. That is why God can use him to teach others. Because all of us have been taught by someone. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's negative. We haven't been taught properly. Haven't been taught according to God's design and purpose. But all of us have been taught by someone. Truths that are impressed on our mind, we have been taught. And remember, teaching slowly but surely changes us. And that's a blessing. So never be weary of teaching in our homes and in our churches. Did anybody ever become weary? But keep on. The Bible teaches us to do it. A man of God teaches in doctrine, in principles of art, words of instructions. Look for that. Look for that quality. The Bible teaches us, look for that quality among you. That's a quality to teach. Number six is he's not a striker. Means he's not a quarrelsome man. You know, the word striker sounds like a kind of a harsh word. It is. Some of the meanings is hitting with a blow, affecting with strong emotions. A striker will act with a surprising or forceful ambition. That's a striker. And the Bible says that we're not called. Now, again, as we shared earlier, there's times where we'll find ourselves in need. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a pattern of being a striker. A quarrelsome man. And number seven is not a brawler. It's similar to a striker, but a brawler is a additional to being a striker. He's very noisy. He quarrels. He's indecent. He speaks loud. He brags. He drives or he beats away, and he loves to be in the middle of an uproar. That's a brawler. In a minister, in a servant of God, we find ourselves, you know, the scripture talks to us or teaches us not to converse about unnecessary things. Sometimes we have to remove ourselves from discussions that are unprofitable. And a man that's not a brawler will be quicker to do that. He'll just remove himself and not beat away at that thing and cause more uproar. And I just was blessed by that, a brawler. Next is number eight is a patient man. The word patient sometimes is always an interesting word. The biblical word patience, sometimes in my life we long for more patience and we long for more patience. But the more we long for patience, the more suffering and the more affliction and the more diverse, you know, things happen. And so the word patient means, doesn't mean that you just sit around and wait for 10 hours on someone that's not doing things right. That can be that way. But the word patient means that you can endure something for a long time. Just a long time. Affliction and pain and toil and calamity, provocation of the evil, with a calm, unruffled temper. The quality of patience, you know, when you wait a long time, and there's a lot of injustice coming, but you do it without being discontent. You're patient. With meekness. Returning this with meekness. Being patient toward all men has a lot of meaning with not being hasty. Because when we get hasty, it's because we're getting impatient. We're not patient in the sense of what we're talking about. Not patient until the meal's finished, but patient for the eternal cause of the kingdom of God. I would say that it has a little bit of a tie together. If you're impatient and tooting your horn waiting on your wife, you'd probably be impatient in this area too. But not being hasty. Be patient. 10 is not being covetous. And that word was covered well, so I don't know if it'll cover a little bit, but one thought I had to add to that is to desire something inordinately, to desire something that's not lawful for you, in a bad sense. The Bible teaches us to covet earnestly the best gifts, but in a bad sense here is to shun away from that. Not when someone is in your midst, none of us, hopefully, would ever covet something that's unlawful. But in this sense, it's a qualification that if it is that way, it's an unqualification to ordain that person. If he is desiring things that are not lawful in his life. It's directed toward money and goods in many of the examples. Watch out for someone that just cannot get enough of this world. It's just something to watch for. And then 11 there, the 11th one is not a novice. Think that's very easily understood. There means a man that's not a man that's new in the faith. Again, we covered that. It seems like when someone is maybe new in the faith, there's not a proven. There's maybe more of a chance of occasion or pride. We could be lifted up in conceit and think we are someone. You know, the practical thought of that is a young believer, and it's real hard to put a year to that. But I often think of our home. I thought of this when I was looking at this. I thought of our home. You know, when we have a 4-year-old and I have almost a 20-year-old. I don't let my 4-year-old do what I let my 20-year-old do. It's not wise. And so some of those principles are from God's word. Like, you don't have your little baby that you're feeding a bottle of milk, and you give that baby a responsibility of someone that's 20. So those principles, just think about that. And I know that those are probably not something that we all heard about. But young believer, someone that's a baby, let a 2-year-old lead out in a home, and it won't work real good. It's that principle. 12 was another point of having a good report of those without, meaning that simply means we are to have a good report. That man's supposed to have a good report within the church, but here it's saying without, in outside of the church. This man's public record should be a good report on his character. The reason we want to say character, his daily outworkings with people, even though the world would despise his faith, they don't agree with his faith, they cannot fault his character. We have to come to understand that by the world's system, the church is hated, but our character should be above reproach. May God help us. May God help us. The only way we can do that is we can say we'll do whatever it takes. To keep a clear conscience before God and man, we can do whatever it takes. Has anyone ever went wrong doing that? No, you might lose a little money, and then a lot of other things start to really see where our hearts are at. May God help us. If you tell a man, I'll do whatever it takes, there isn't a lot left to fight about. There isn't a lot left to even have a bad reputation. Look, I think this is a big one. This is, you know, we know that they're all big, but this is big, because in the Christians of old, in the history of the church, they would some men would go in the community and go ask, well, you know, this brother was chosen, you know, how is he? You know, be very practical with that. And then, hey, if the community says, you know, we have to look at God's word versus how we feel. And I'm always blessed by that, because when we're not trying to be somebody, we're not living by occasion, we're willing to surrender to God's word. And usually they won't have no problem at that point. 13 there, the thought of not soon angry. And there's been a lot of justification because it says they're not soon angry, like gives a little room to get angry. But I believe the Bible teaches us that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so when we want to justify anger, I don't feel like it gives us, the scripture don't give us room to justify anger. The reason it says soon anger, I've often thought of that. It has a lot to do with a striker or a brawler. In many ways, the Bible, you know, the Bible is true. Anger is an emotion. Just like tears are an emotion, brokenheartedness, everything is an emotion. Anger is an emotion, I think, that's given to us by God. But anger is never allowed. That emotion is never allowed to get out of bounds and create a sinful situation. So because the man has an angry thought or an angry feeling, I don't think he's condemned by the scriptures by that, because anger is part of our emotion. Anger here according to what I looked up here, it becomes an expression of anger. Now a thought of anger, an expression of anger, it's a violent expression of the mind. And sometimes you can simply see that on a display of a mind, of a face. And the reason that is because it's excited by a real or supposed injury. Sometimes things are real, sometimes it's just a fake. But when things are real, real things happen, that emotion of anger has a tendency to come up in all of our lives. It remains a temptation when we have the inside power to govern it by the Holy Spirit, to not allow that emotion of anger to become a driver's seat. And the reason this is a real one for me, I was the oldest in my family, and anger was the driver's seat of my life for years. I could get my way by anger. But anger, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So it's something to watch for. The emotions of anger can be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's a blessing. Divine power, it's a new nature. And the reason that anger is an emotion, it will always finish in a fitful rage. That's how it finishes. Wrath, and then very damaging. Now, I'll give you an example. I don't want to take too much time. But if you ever go into prisons, we do some, and you sit down and you talk to a middle-aged man and you listen to his journey, and the journeys are about, they're all the same. You know what? No one really wants to kill someone. But in the fitfulness of rage, things happen. And then they pay the price for the rest of their life. And that's how things can happen in homes and in churches. Just a couple of fits like that can set a stage and change the scene that's almost irreparable in many situations. So God help us. Blessed by that in my life. The other thought is not self-willed. A lover of good men and faithful in doctrine. I would like to get into a little bit of the role of this. Faithful in doctrine. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the nations, teaching them to observe all things that I teach you." So that in a sense, you know, you think of these things when Jesus taught this, his word is powerful because his word is the faithful doctrine. You know, being faithful in doctrine is a teacher. One of the things about being faithful in a when we look at lover of good men being faithful in doctrine, and before I go on, I would like to just share that the doctrine, being faithful in a doctrine, the word doctrine many times becomes our self-doctrines, but to love the doctrine of the Bible is a call of a man of God or a church of God. So the all truths of the Bible, you know, like, and so that's why many times it's a blessing to have plurality or have a brotherhood. You know, when you have a couple of elders and some deacons, like the bounce off, the doctrine of God, we love the whole council. And when we're all trying to do it ourselves, we become tired and weary because we don't all have it within ourselves. We need each other. And so faithful in doctrine, this is a blessing. This is very helpful by our brethren, our ministering brethren and our church, just our brethren in the congregation. Because when you love the whole, it's a blessing because then the doctrines become pure and holy. Because, you know, I'm not real good at that, but that brother will help you. You know, he'll help you out real good. Isn't that freeing? But when we're all about ourselves, back again, we have to understand why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for the furtherance of the gospel. So this call of an elder is for the furtherance of the gospel, an extension of the kingdom of God, not for a good name, you know, as Brother John shared with that earlier. So I would like to turn a little bit of a corner on this and look at a little bit of the role of an elder. I would like to say, before I go into the role of an elder, I know that John shared about a one-woman man. I had just a little note here I wanted to share on, as we look out among, look for a one-woman man, but I would also say look for the woman. Because the Bible talks a lot about a woman, the hidden part of a man. I was listening to a message a number of years ago where there was a man that was part of an elder team. He was sharing how in this subject of women being influential. And I would just say that because I don't have any suspicion that your women are leading, but just to give an illustration, he said they would gather on one week, they would gather on a body of topics, and they could come to a peace at the end of that meeting and chart a course. We're gonna kind of close this chapter and we're gonna move forward. This is our decisions. And then next week they'd gather again, and one or two of the men in that body of elders would say, "We went home, and after talking to our wife for a few days, we'd like to revisit section 1 and 2 or 3. And he said, "And you wouldn't believe the chaos that caused us at times. We would just like to go home and see what these wives are made of. I mean, like, now we bring our wives along. We talk together. But there's a God-given role that God has established. We didn't do that. But so earlier on we're sharing, come together, a one-woman man, a marriage, a couple that's together, a man and wife that's together. It's very vital. Because sometimes I don't understand things. Sometimes my wife don't. But we come together, and at the end of the day, we know what God's plan is, and we submit to that, even though one or another don't understand something. So just a practical note for that. Watch for that. Because it can wreak havoc in a church. This was from a man that shared this in his own testimony in a message. there is some writings that I found on the roll. I'll read some of those as we go through here, just for some thought provoking. Some ways that the call. The role that an elder has. He has a call. I'd just like to read this. The title of this little thought is Life. It says, a newly ordained minister's first sermon was well received. Someone asked him, "How long did you take to prepare this message?" "My whole life has been a preparation," was his reply. Before God called Moses to speak to Pharaoh and give leadership to God's people, Moses had spent 40 years in Egypt and another 40 years in the backside of the desert. In Egypt, no doubt, he learned to write. In the desert, he learned humility, submission, and no doubt many things about the desert environment that helped him lead Israel through the wilderness. A minister today may have been benefited from parental teaching, Sunday school, weekly preaching, youth Bible school, personal Bible study, conversation with missionaries, reading and more, work experiences and travel, witnessing, interactions with relatives, friends, can provide useful sermon illustrations. Even our mistakes are useful in carrying out our responsibilities to warn and admonish others. Living faithful lives gives credibility to what a minister preaches. Menno Simons knew the importance of a godly life. He described true shepherds whose lives are characterized by faithfulness. The shepherds who are sent of God will have been rightly called. Teach the word of God unfalsified. Keep its holy ordinances. Live unblameably in their little power. For they are born of God, are taught and moved by the Holy Spirit. They seek neither gold nor possessions, neither any easy life nor praise of men on earth. They perform their assigned duties with all diligence. They fear God from their hearts. They seek their fellow men with great fidelity. They are armed with the weapons of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. They deal without respect to persons. The powerful sharp word of the divine word cuts from their lips. The shining lanterns in their hands, they are taught in righteousness and full of spiritual wisdom. They divide the good from the evil, the holy from the unholy, and the clean from the unclean. In brief, they shine in doctrine and life. And that's a call for every man. But I was blessed by that little writing there. And I think of that in the light of a role. The role here this morning, and if you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5, just read a few verses from verse 1 to 4. It says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight therefore not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but as being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." We'll stop reading there. It's very, very important role of an elder is to teach and feed the flock of God. You know, feed this morning is not just feed anything. You know, I see animals here. You go out and you look out over the flock and you wonder what needs to be fed today. We don't, you know, if we have a flock that has a lot of rotten teeth, we don't go feed some more candy, you know. Candy is okay for occasions. I'm just using it as very practical, but we have to feed. The Bible teaches an elder to feed the flock of God. And therefore, we need God. We need wisdom. Men need wisdom. And look for that. Look for that feeder. Feed the flock of God. It can be fed anything from milk to meat. Right, we need milk. I need milk sometimes, and then we need some meat. We need some things that we need to get a hold of. Feed the flock of God. It's very encouraging. It's very, very much a big responsibility, and the call of an elder. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Jeremiah 23:4 says, "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." You know, that principle is like, it's so true from the Old Testament, from the heart of God in the Old Testament, where there is a good feeder, where there's good feeding and good nourishment, there'll be no more fear, no more lack. We have the opportunity to be in that kingdom. Look for that teaching, that feeding. Ezekiel 34:23 says, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my shepherd David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." This is talking of David there. And in Acts there in the New Testament, Acts 20:28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath it made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And as I meditated on that verse yesterday afternoon a little bit, I think that the opportunity is so precious that a fallible man like you and I have an opportunity to feed the flock of God that's purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. This is God's church. This is something that's purchased. And so we want to be doctrinally sound. We want to be rounded and well with God's Word. And we need each other. But, oh, would that put a burden on my heart deeper than it ever has. And the Lord was doing some work in my own life. You know, some of the prophets said that, some of the warnings we need, and we'll look at that a little bit later. We need to be able to be willing to be warned and rebuked 100%, just as well as we need to be encouraged and blessed. And as I thought of that, I thought, I think it's in the old. I might have the verse with me. I might see if I can find that in the Ezekiel. I'll have to find that maybe. It talks about when a watchman in the Old Testament, a watchman sees a man coming with a sword, and he doesn't warn, and the sword comes in and kills people, then there's blood required of that man. And for some reason, when I read that yesterday, I thought, you know, the importance of this, you know, the purchased bride of Christ, you know, it's kind of a for me, it makes me think of many things. But you know, it would be so beautiful this morning that Jesus would come and stand here, and he would just tell all of us how it all is. But that's not how he does it. He uses the church, and that's how he's going to do it until he returns. Isn't that beautiful? But yay, a responsibility. Yay, a responsibility that we don't have the authority to just swing it however we feel like it. We don't. Because if we are part of causing catastrophes as an elder, we become responsible. There's requirement from us. So that was the foundational thought of feeding. And I would like to look at some sub-points of that. I don't want to take too much time, but look at some sub-points of that. The first point I would like to look at in the light of feeding is laboring in the Word of God. Laboring in the Word of God. It's a role. It's a call for an elder. What does that mean to you, to us? What does that mean to labor in the Word of God? And you know, there's sermonettes and Christianettes and churchnettes. I mean, I'm trying to make a point. You know, there's come and get a 5-minute devotional. I want us to think about that. I think it's okay sometimes to labor, and you don't know what you have. But you labor until God comes through in my own life, in your life. Labor in the Word of God. Digging in the Word of God. Take the whole Word in consideration on any given subject. Labor in the Word of God. It's vital. It's one of the roles. You know, sometimes when you as a man want to labor, it's a joy. But there is a battle, because sometimes when you want to labor in the Word of God, others might be plowing. It's true. But do we love to labor in the Word of God? It's rewarding. It's rewarding, isn't it? I mean, I know all of you. I'm sure you've looked in the Word and you labor. And every time I do it with all my heart, I want to do it more. It's probably way more rewarding than anybody else, for anybody else. But it's rewarding when I labor, except when I just sermonette it, copy paste. We don't get nothing like that. There's no digging in the Word of God, laboring in the Word of God. It's a role. It's a call. Laboring in the Word of God, we will not be able to be hooked up with the secret desires of earthly gain. It won't happen, because God doesn't divide it. God won't receive it that way. But we must have a burden for an eternal gain. This man will become apparent, or men, that he will make distinct decisions between the greatest desires of his heart. The greatest desires of you and I's heart, we decide and we make decisions based on that. And that comes with digging and searching the Word of God. Laboring in the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, very familiar verse, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Simply meaning dividing truth rightly. It's vital. And then later on in 19, in that same chapter, in 2 Timothy, it says, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And see, some of those words, we can interpret them as just, we need to run away from sin. But the interpretation in that 2 Timothy 2, it says, "Depart from iniquity," is meaning taking the Word of God and presenting it in perverseness to people. It's not true doctrine. It's not true love for the whole counsel of God. So turn away from this iniquity. Anytime the teaching of our Word makes men lawless, be careful. It makes us holy. It makes us holy. Watch out for that. Digging into the Word of God. Lawlessness. The Word of God is not here for a private interpretation. The Word of God is here for to preach and teach, making sure that it's whole. I want to say praise God. I am so thankful for that. That I have brethren in my life. You have brethren that we can keep the Word of God pure. And we can dig around it together. Not in questioning the Word of God, but questioning our own agendas at times. Why we're doing what we're doing. The second thought on feeding is prayer. Very vital. Look for a man of prayer. It's a role. Be careful. You know, I was just thinking about that. Sometimes my wife will ask me, what am I thinking? I don't know. Sometimes I'm, what should I do here? What should I say here? You can't figure that out many times humanly, but we can pray. And we can bow our hearts before God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. We have a God that we can knee down, or we can, wherever we are, we can say, God, I'm here. I'm praying to you. It's very rewarding. Or we can just plow on and go our own way. I've done both of that. The one is no good. The one has a lot of reapings that don't work. It's vital in ministry, prayer. See the word there, be careful for nothing. You could say, well, don't care about anything. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, don't worry about things. Just bring them to God. Now, that sounds pretty simple. I've heard that since I was a little boy. My mom and dad would help try to say, don't worry about it. I'd be like, well, how do... But when we actually have an advocate and we have a God, we don't have to worry about things. We can come to Him. Even though the need may be astronomical. You may be able to look at something, I don't know how I'm going to get through that physically. And you're probably right. That's why God has you there and you and I there at those times. It's in time of need that we need prayer just as well as time of prosperity and good times. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. I often think of prayer and watching. They're like a hand in a glove. It's a role of an elder. It's a role of everyone. But that's the roles that are given according to the Scriptures. Watch in the same. Be alert in prayer. Be alert in prayer. In Thessalonians 5:17 it says, pray without ceasing. What does that look like in my life? Pray without ceasing. The third part of this is the role. There's six words here, or 6 points, and I'll just share them right now. There's a role in 2 Timothy. If you turn in there, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This is from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. That from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then in the next chapter, chapter 4, verses, the first two verses, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. I'll just stop reading there. The thought here is giving, there's exhortation, there's teaching, exhortation, and warning. Every man. Now, I think that's every man. That would be outside of the church as well, but that's the charge or the role. As well as encouraging, blessing, and guiding them. Kind of find that in these scriptures. If you look at, we read there in 2 Timothy, and you look at some of that encouragement, you see a lot of warning there in 2 Timothy. You see warning, rebuke, exhort, reprove. And then if you turn to Philemon there, 3:9. Philemon verse 3 and 9, it says, verse 3 to 9, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the apostle again giving the role. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. There was a beautiful hearing that the Apostle Paul had, and he just blessed them and encouraged them. He heard of their love and he heard of their faith. And so sometimes in the role given, that man needs to be able to bless, not always charge and warn, but to bless. And some of us are gifted differently like that. God help us. We see that happening. The Apostle Paul committed this men, you know, in when we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, some verses there. Just a few more verses on encouragement. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. You know, if there's a, sometimes there's a son or there's a church brother that, you know, he needs this. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. He doesn't always need the warning, but be strong. If he's someone he just about can't, don't know if he can take another step. And that's the counsel of God. That's the counsel of the Apostle Paul giving this role to Timothy. Exhortation, warning, and teaching. On the other side, encouraging, blessing, and then the thought that he gave them, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's that last role of guiding them in their conduct of life. And I think of that for our children. It is entirely biblical for us to live that way, but we need Jesus Christ. We can say, come, follow, let's go. As we follow Christ, let's follow each other. Let's do this. And yet, again earlier, we've recognized that thing has caused a shipwreck in many occasions, or situations where we got personal agendas that we want people to follow us for. But would God help us to have one single agenda? One. That every one of the men of God that we're responsible for, that we would long to see them prosper, and we long to see them make it all the way home. You can't go wrong like that. No one can. May God help us. Lastly, we guide our souls. That role of guiding. Follow me as I follow Christ. You know, that's very practical. You know, when you have someone ask you, what should I do in life? Share with them. Even if you're not perfect, this is what I would do. You can do this. It will many times set them on a free road. It sets men free. Because we wrestle sometimes. What should I do? What should I buy? I found an extreme blessing in my life. Do you think buying this vehicle, you think I should buy that vehicle? There's no threat, but give direction. Don't go do whatever I want. This man of God, this man that you look out from among you, he must be fair. I think of this, I found this quote, he must be fair. He must be firm. He must be friendly. And I think of that being friendly. Something I remember as a little boy growing up. Good leaders show interest in children. They care for children. Do I love children? Men that love children, love family, love young men, because people face trials. Encourage family. Encourage, comfort the grieving. Have a servant heart. Doing all these things will never be able to be done without a shepherd's heart. A shepherd's heart. We can do this with mechanics. We can do this with all the, you know, I was thinking about as I went through here, this could sound like mechanics and steps. But it has to come from a burden and a passion from within that comes from God Almighty. I'd like to read a quote here in closing. I think that the other role is in a quote that I found is this role is also a character, but also a role is having a submissive attitude. The attitude of being submissive is not passive, but it's submissive, and there's no threat to that. The elders of the church here, the elders and Peter wrote about, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And I just had to, I was reading about that. If we as elders or leaders become subject one to another, we will not insist on our own ways. This is a role. And this is what has caused a lot of difficulties in life. But I read that in this quote in this book I've been reading through, a submissive attitude. We can walk close with Jesus' words in the closing verses I want to read is in Mark chapter 13. We were in there earlier this morning. Mark chapter 13, verse 31, it says, heaven and earth shall pass. This is some closing verses just for some concluding thoughts. This morning we have the furtherance of God, God's word ahead of us, the kingdom of God. But in verse 31 it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taken a far journey, who left his home and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Let's leave off right there, those verses. So, we have a man, Jesus, and this is his commission. He has every man his work. He give authority to servants. And he commanded the porter to watch. And there's a return. There's the second coming of Jesus Christ is coming. And we're called to be faithful in this work until he comes. And this is part of it. The elder and deacon. And there's many other appointed operations in the kingdom of God. So I want to bless you. I'll pray for you all as you move forward. You can pray for us as a family. As we endeavor to be that porter, be that servant, and be watchful and be in prayer. We'll pray for you as you journey, and you can pray for us. So God bless you all, and thank you for your attentiveness. Also, if anything that we shared, that you have thoughts, questions, we're very open. We just endeavor to share from God's Word and bring some of our thoughts, and we all have experiences. So God bless you all.